awa wala tinkering tum tum. Soluwa, awa wala tinkering tum tum. Si aleta wa, eh awa ile popo. Eba wayo, ala fiambo wa. Shoki, shoki, shoki.
I'm Dawn Burns, and this is The Sauce. We're cooking up a soul-satisfying taste of music, arts, and culture that will have you coming back for more. And we're right here on your NPR station, 88.1 WVPE. Darryl Buchanan toured the globe for over 20 years as a musician. While growing up in South Bend, Indiana at age 17, he was discovered by the legendary Motown recording artist Junior Shotgun Walker and started touring the world in the early 1980s. Throughout his musical career, he toured with many legendary groups, including The Temptations, former legendary James Brown band director trombonist Fred Wesley of the JBs, and the Motown Review. Darryl has performed on numerous TV shows, including NBC's Saturday Night Live, and has performed at the world-famous Apollo Theater. Growing up in a family of talented singers and musicians, he first picked up the bass and guitar at age 12. Years later, Darryl also advanced his musical skills to the keyboards. Influenced by musician legends like George Benson, James Jamerson, and Santana, Darryl's explosive bass and guitar solos are legendary, and it's always an honor to work with him. Darryl Buchanan, welcome to The Sauce.
What's up? What's up? It's always a pleasure being here on WVPE, and I'm happy to be a part of your new show, Sauce.
Thank you so much. Now, you have a great history with Junior Walker and the All-Stars. That was your entrance into the world of music, and I want to jump right in with how you met Junior Walker of Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Motown memories. Well, I have to drift back to the year 1979. I was a senior in high school, and by fate, I played a lot of basketball in the summertime. So I was at a park, and when I left the park, I was going over to my older brother, Tony's house. And so I hit the alleyway, and I met this beautiful lady. Her name was Alberta DeWalt. And she saw I was a curious kid, and there was some music floating in the air. So she invited me to stop inside the club and check out the band. And it took me about 3 days before I realized that the guy in there practicing was South Bend's own Junior Walker, a Motown legend. So after a couple of days, I got a audition, and the guy said, "Hey, how'd you like to play for me? I'll hire you." The rest was history.
And he essentially picked up sort of rearing you as a young teenager. And
yes.
You stepped into the entire Motown world where he kept you on a pretty strict regimen, correct?
Yes, I was very young, and you know, I had not traveled any place. So the whole thing was new to my lifestyle. You know, all of a sudden, I'm a kid growing up on the west side of South Bend. And you know, next thing you know, I'm down at Antone's in Austin, Texas, and traveling to Europe and doing all kinds of great things. So thanks to him, he saw the talent in a young teenage kid, and he gave me a big boost. And I've been playing music ever since, thanks to him.
What a wonderful opportunity for someone young to just jump right into, you know, the epitome of the world of Motown.
Motown history.
Yeah. And I'm particularly moved every time I hear the story about how one day you were given the Motown book to learn with a quickness.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Some years back, I was doing a Motown tour, backing up some of the Temptations and the Supremes and the whole like Motown show. So they mailed me a big stack of all the Motown hits, all the sheet music. And I had about 2 weeks to like learn it all and get out to Los Angeles. So luckily I had listened to like all the Motown hits like growing up. And when I joined Junior, I was always around those Motown guys. So when I got my opportunity to back some of the legends, I took full advantage of it because I had to cram a lot of music. And I was like, ooh, you're serious here. But you know, one of my bass idols was James Jamerson. And it was a pleasure just to learn all of his licks and his techniques.
I mean, that's just so huge, isn't it? And it's like a crash course in theory. Who even can handle a crash course in theory, much less, you know, play it with a high level of competence like you always did?
Yes. When I flew out to Los Angeles, we had a band rehearsal, and every time, like I missed a note, someone would come over and say, boom. I say, I got it this time. The thing about Junior's group, Junior was a freelance guy on stage, even though he had such great music. We always played on stage as a kind of a wide open act. You know, he never like ended the song like the same way every night, depending on how he felt. Sometimes we play shotgun for 3 minutes. Sometimes it would be for 8 minutes. If he wanted to just get down to Motown business, we just roll with him. He was a road runner.
Right, right. No question about it. I guess you guys probably stayed busy.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We traveled a lot. Stayed in Europe every year. And some of the countries that we played was Germany, Holland, Belgium, England, and went to France. He was very popular over there. So we traveled to Europe almost every year for about maybe 4 to 5 weeks.
You spoke about James Jamerson as a musical influence.
Yes.
Do you have others that we need to know about?
Gosh, you know, growing up, I come from a very musical family. So all my brothers and sisters, and including my father, who played blues harp and piano, and my mom was a gospel singer. So there was always music around the house, even at age, 10, 11, 12. So when I first picked up a bass, I was actually playing my older brother James' bass. And when he went off into the military, I started just kind of playing around with it more. And my cousins had basses. So being a young kid, I used to put on when I first heard B.B. King and guys like George Benson. And I wanted to play like that at age 12, but I realized it took some practice.
right.
So I played a lot, and by the time I got 16 or 17, I always had a great ear. I could just hear things on the radio and just play. So luckily, when my opportunity came with Junior, I had a pretty nurtured ear for just hearing notes and just playing them. So it turned out good. And as I got older, I took music theory and reading stuff.
Beautiful. And you played at the inauguration for President Clinton, correct? How was that?
That was a wonderful experience. That was January 20th, 1993. Junior had played up in Traverse City, Michigan, and then Governor Bill Clinton happened to be in town like that at that time. So he came down and he got on stage with Junior, and they jammed a bit. And so he said, well, if I become the president, you guys will be invited to play at the inaugural ball. And sure enough, we got the invite, and I showed up there, and it was a marvelous time. And I ran around all those Secret Service guys, so I was being very calm. So it was a fun evening. Yeah, we played at the ball, and with Booker T and the MGs, that they had a lot of acts there, and I think Kenny G was there. I can't remember all the acts, but it was quite the experience. And after it was all over, that one day, I think I must have brought about 10 boxes of champagne home. So I was feeling good. They said, take this stuff, because these guys are done partying. So we gladly packed up the bus real good.
Right? That's just great. That's just, a series of once in a lifetime experiences. One of the other experiences that I love to hear the story for is you being on Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live. Yeah, that was quite a day there. Gosh, back then, me and Eddie Murphy were both 19 years old. That tells you, they had a lot of the original cast was there. John Belushi, Robin Williams was on that show, and Christopher Reeves. So I found out the world of television that you're at NBC Studios for about 5 hours, but you play for about 20 minutes live television, because they had to rehearse the whole show a couple of times. But it was it was quite a time, you know, when the guy told me 26 million people were watching. My knees got like a little tight, but I was like, my first television show, Saturday Night Live. And I went to a wonderful after party after that where Robin Williams was the bartender and there was all kind of stuff going on. John Belushi was on the drums and it was a lot of smoke in the room. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
New experience, yeah. New York City, so nice. They named it twice.
Right, yeah. New York is a great place in every way. Now, I want to move to what you have going on currently. You've been recording with Don Carlos.
He's my musical partner. We actually teamed up around 2001 or two. So we've been doing albums like, you know, every other year. We have about five or six products online, iTunes and Spotify, all the platforms. So we met in Chicago while I was working with a good friend of mine, Donnie Hagen, Marvin Gaye's former drummer, and we were cutting some tracks up there, and Don was in the same studio. So we met in the hallway, and it was at Stage Fright Studios. Stage Fright Studios happened to be right next to the mortuary, so it was Stage Fright Studios. So it was a little thickness in the air, you know, just like to make sure that we were supposed to leave out of there.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so me and Don, yeah, we've been great musical partners for a lot of years. He's down in Phoenix now, so I travel back and forth down there when we work on projects. And we have some new music coming out that we were going to release last year, but because of COVID, we had to push it back. So we're planning on releasing some music late summer titled Can You Dance? It's a lot of club tracks and some old-fashioned R&B music.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that work to come out. I know I'm on there somewhere.
Yeah, a couple of tracks.
Yeah, on a couple of tracks. It was fun jumping in the studio to get on that. I was really honored, you know, to be a part of that. And I can't wait for you to release it.
Yeah, so I've also been, you know, putting my studio, which I'm at now, in my family church. I want to start some recording and start working on some projects. And I also plan to give some kids some guitar lessons and just, you know, try to help to keep the live music scene alive with the youth, because I think this generation has lost a lot of the art of playing instruments, you know, because they like to sample a lot. So I like to say computers fix, but they never feel like a hand.
True. Plus, like just having the chops to play live music really matters.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I also understand that you are playing at the Elkhart Jazz Festival coming up soon.
Yes, the Elkhart Jazz Fest. So that's going to be June the 19th. And I'm performing at, I don't have my calendar. I'm on stage at 9 p.m. and I come off stage at 10:15. It's going to be a great show. I got some of my Motown friends coming in to jam with me. So we're going to do a whole set of some classic Motown and some R&B and some good funk music from the 70s and 80s and 60s. So it's going to be a blast. So I'm happy to be a part of that. And just the whole music scene coming back into play again, where we can have an audience again. So
doesn't it feel good? It just feels so good to have the live music world emerge again after such a long time. That was very rough for all live musicians, and we're all jonesing to get back out there. So, and I think the people who come to the shows
online just doesn't get it for me. I need some fans, some people that I can reach out to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Daryl, I really appreciate you speaking with me today. I can't wait to see you at the Jazz Festival. And we will anxiously await your upcoming album, Daryl B and Don Carlos, called Can You Dance?
A couple quick shout outs. Shout out to my friends out in LA and the ATL and all my fans here in the Michiana area. I look forward to seeing you. It's always a pleasure to support WBPE Radio and The Sauce.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Daryl. We'll see you soon.
All right. See you soon. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Sauce here on 88.1 WVPE. Coming up next on The Sauce, I sit down with trumpeter Charlie Porter. Stay with us. I'm Dawn Burns.